When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good morning and good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to Marvel Movie Talk right here on Geekscape. So excited to be here with each and every one of you. As always, I am Christian Blatt, joined with the one, the only, Michael X Shirley, who can be found on X at Michael X Shirley. And you want to see a little magic for our video audience. I make the X, and you can all see the ceiling fan here behind me. And the man who puts the X in X-Men 97, the one and only Count Eric Connor. Hello, sir. How are you?
Gentlemen, how are you?
There's one host on this show who decided he didn't want to be my date tonight, but I won't reveal behind the scenes as to who that is. We'll just move on and continue doing the show like professionals. We have a few things to discuss. Go ahead.
I am sorry I'm putting my child's open house ahead of you. I really, my priorities have always been messed
up. Our kids are never in the same school district. And we had ours last week, so you're lying. But we're going to move on anyway. It's fine.
Mine's tonight.
It's fine. You know, and I get tomorrow. It. You're just not that into me, Eric. It's fine.
Of my choices. But, yeah. Hi, everyone. How are you?
Yeah. I know if Michael still lived here, he would come to the Roosevelt Hotel and the El Capitan Theater with me. But that's all right. Before we dive into, we're going to talk about the second season of I Am Groot, and we're going to talk a little bit about some Disney Plus Marvel Studios rescheduling news. I did want to take a moment to talk about the passing of an extraordinary artist, the inker, Dan Green, who is responsible for what I still say, and I have stated this unequivocally on a number of occasions. To me, this is the best comic book cover that I have ever seen. Pencils by John Romita Jr., inks by Dan Green. It is Wolverine tearing through the book of Uncanny X-Men 207. I guess you have to specify, because I feel like subsequent X-Men books might be up to 207 by now. But this is volume one, issue 207 from 1986. And, you know, I think that people focus a lot on their favorite pencilers. I have talked about there are times where I'm not a fan of John Byrne, but when he's inked by Terry Austin, I think he looks great. And I think Paul Smith, everybody looks great when they're inked by Terry Austin. So Dan Green provided some continuity in some very memorable era of Uncanny X-Men. This is a very big moment where Logan just leans in for a kiss, and Jean doesn't look like she's pushing back, does she, Michael? Is she like, no, well, just, you know, I'm with it. Scott, but you know, and this is, and I remember this moment. Logan said that he had to make sure it was really her, that it wasn't her or a clown
girl.
And I'm like, yeah, well, sometimes you got to do the old taste test. Yeah, but so the passing of Dan Green, it was you know, there's names that you see and you go like, oh yeah, that's one of the greats. They built the company, but I have so many comic books that that were inked by Dan Green, so I wanted to start with that, and it gives me an excuse to really just filibuster and say that Uncanny X-Men 207 is the best cover of any comic book, Marvel or otherwise. Maybe if they keep pushing the schedule, maybe we'll do a favorite covers episode coming up in the near future. But we'll talk a little bit about the rescheduling, but what I'm excited that we have some new Marvel content on Disney Plus to discuss today. And it's 5 episodes. It's about 20 minutes of actual content, because when you watch something on Disney Plus, that runtime includes like all the foreign language dubbed versions of it and some pretty long credits. I do appreciate that, and I am Groot, that Groot just fast forwards through the Marvel Studios intro, because otherwise, if they use the standard one from the films, like half the episode would be Marvel Studios. And obviously, this is an animated series. I watched season one with my 5.5-year-old daughter, Lucy. She loves Groot. That was her big takeaway from her animated introduction to the Guardians of the Galaxy from an episode of, I believe it was Ultimate Spider-Man. And she likes Groot because he says, "I am Groot." And she likes Rocket because he's got a big gun. So you see what's already happening.
That's why
in my
she
household.
Likes him.
That's what it seems like. But so obviously, this is great for the kids. I think it's fun. It's light. I was we have a big Geekscape text thread that I was on, and people were talking about trying to go to sleep after watching the new episode of Ahsoka last night. And I was like, well, I watched I Am Groot, and it was perfect right before bed to watch all 5 episodes. Eric, are your kids already too old for I Am Groot, or do you feel like they might appreciate some of this?
I think they will appreciate it, and they are too old. You know, I think it's cutesy, but to their credit, they're a trifle, right? I feel like you watch it so fast. Like, I don't think I even realized I'd watched all of it.
Yeah.
You know, like I had skipped past like the end credits and, and that was like, oh, wait, I guess that's it. But
there's one of them that even with the credits, the runtime's listed as 3 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're the mini-sodes. They're not really episodes.
If only Quibi had struck a deal for Groot content, maybe right. Quibi would still be with us.
Or they could have gotten all the actors to reenact it like they did The Princess Bride, which I think also, by the way, would be quite fun. I mean, this feels like lots of potential user-generated content you can make with something like this. But it's cute. It's fun. As I'm watching this, I'm like, how are we going to talk about this for like an hour? And I realize we're not going to talk about this.
Did you notice we started at 15 minutes after the hour?
Yeah. This is a mini-sode for the Geekscape crowd as well. But I did find myself laughing out loud at least like once per episode. Yeah. And for a few minutes, I'll take it. You know, I don't ask for much more than that in life.
When Groot stepped in the poop from the little bird.
Was that okay? That was my only question. Was that poop?
Well, when have we done an episode when your questions aren't scat related?
I mean, I usually lean in with that and lead with that, but
right now, Michael's thinking of some videos he's texted us in the past. So that's why I'm not talking.
Michael Shirley, you mean? My videos tend to be a little more sedate, and he should be sedated.
I love shock value.
Oh yeah,
really? I haven't known you long enough to realize that, Michael. But anyway, your question was indeed. Your question was indeed related to the poop, right?
I thought he might have stepped on a bird.
No.
I had a very dark read of that moment. Then
that would be avian homicide, life on the street, and
let's talk
old
Grogu.
Chicken or the egg,
right? See, and speaking of Grogu, eating the eggs of that. What you write? We have to protect
like
the
tadpoles.
Yeah, but they're the babies. They're like Grogu is eating them without pity, without remorse. And thus I felt like, well, Disney sort of showed its hand in that moment. So is it so crazy that Grogu would have accidentally stepped on one of those cute little baby chicks?
All right. I didn't realize that you were on your PETA soapbox today. All right. Good old Lib Cuck Connor. All right. Glad you're here on the show today.
Leaning left.
Yeah. But Michael, one thing I was thinking while I was watching these, not so much when I was watching the first season, was Michael hates this. He's going to absolutely hate this show. Did you have any takeaway of entertainment value? Were you able to enjoy it?
I think I liked the first season a little better. I'll say I watched them both together because it'd been so long since I'd seen them.
Sure.
I think I liked the first one. First season.
I like that the first one had Rocket in an episode. And I thought it was fun that, I would love to see that check for Bradley Cooper that they had to cut for his one line in the season two episode. You know, like what's the day rate on getting Bradley Cooper to, have one of those plug-in mics for his iPhone and he records it and then he emails it to somebody. But yeah, I like when, we're reminded that, this is Baby Groot. This is, pre-volume two when he's this little. And he is a member of the Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'm glad that that Rocket participates at least. I think I did enjoy the stories in season one, but I felt like the best of season two was the last one, bringing in Jeffrey Wright as the Watcher. Mm. And I like that story and, using the Watcher in a way of like, oh God, he's not going to do that, is he? Oh my God, he did it. I thought that it was kind of fun, and it reminded me, I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't hate What If, just that one episode. Just really hated that one. Like really, really hated that one. And the zombie one wasn't great either. But in any case, I don't know. I mean, it was fun. I'm looking forward to watching it, watching all of them with my daughter. I don't think I can tell her, like, well, we can watch one before bed, each night this week. I think she'll realize that's like, well, that's much too short. Paw Patrol is a lot longer than that. Were you able to ascertain a favorite from season two, Michael? And maybe you disagree with my assessment. Could you have done without the Watcher?
Yeah, I could do without that. That was a little cheesy for me. I felt like that was for the older fans, not really the younger fans. But I'd say my favorite from the first season was definitely when he takes a bath. I think that's a funny one.
Yep. That's my daughter's favorite, actually. That was the one that she described in detail to my wife because she didn't watch it with us. She was in the kitchen doing the dishes, what I'm saying? Come on.
Woman's work, huh?
But I think that I feel like the ice cream one is going to be my daughter's favorite. I feel I also thought that one was kind of fun, but I'm going to have to take back what I said about the avian homicide, Eric, because he blew up that ship, didn't he? So he could get all the ice cream. In the ice cream episode.
Oh yeah. And again, no remorse. He was fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. no remorse. But I feel like if you're a member of the Guardians of the Galaxy, you need to have no remorse for pretty much anything, I mean, Rocket got a little soft in volume three, but if there's ice cream
truck. Yeah, but the driver of the ice cream truck, we don't get a sense that there's particularly, villainy at work there. It's just some dude driving an ice cream.
Imagine if they'd given us the backstory in like a cold open, like Law and Order style, before the credits, and they're talking about the ice cream truck driver and how much he loves his job, and he's two days away from retirement, of course, voiced by Danny Glover, and he's just like, he's had such a full life, and then Groot, upset because he didn't get any ice cream, just blows him out of the sky.
In space, everything is cold.
Right. And and Daniel has the point that he could then be arrested by the Nova Corps. Exactly. We've got a lot of our friends that have popped in for the show. I love that the show comes back and all of our friends are here. I saw some birthday talk, but here we'll start off. Daniel Drew forgot to watch the episodes last night, so I did earlier today. Yeah, I mean, you could have done it since we started the show and be almost done. The last one was delightful, and the rescheduling makes sense. I'm not bothered by it. That is our secondary topic, which will probably be longer than this topic, but that's all right. You heard, check this part out, though, Michael. Daniel Drew might get to meet Chris Claremont on Friday. Whatever question you most want to ask him, if you're going to be in line to get autographs, ask that question first, because he will answer it. But then by the time he's done answering it, you're going to realize, okay, there's a lot of people behind me who are, you know, going to have a question of their own. He is delightful at cons. He will give you a lot of interaction. If you've ever seen any of the interviews on any of the incarnations of the show, you'll have a pretty good sense for what it's like. You know, bring a stack of books. You know, make sure you have exact change. Don't make the man make change for you. You know, think of all the joy he's brought you in his career. I'm very excited that you're going to meet him. We usually find a reason to talk to him once a year, but I think God Loves Man Kills for Geekscape Book Club was already this year. So yeah. I might have to wait till next year. So I don't ask more than once a year because it always makes his wife angry because he you know, I'm like, all right, I'll tell him it's just an hour. 2.5 hours later, finally the interview's over. But I'm excited. Craig Robinson. I'm sorry. I just want to say Craig Robinson checked in from across the pond. Kids are back at school. Marvel Movie Talk is back. Woohoo. Yes. All things are great. Everything's great in the world because we're back and the kids are at school. Now, what were you going to say, Mr. Connor?
I was going to quote John Lovitz, or at least the advice always given to you about John Lovitz, which I'll allow you to have that line, Christian.
Have a good listen.
There it is.
There it is.
You're going to meet him. Have a good listen. But the truth is, though, and, you know, I know you've interviewed him multiple times, but just the one interview I was part of, and I don't know what the dogs are destroying behind me. He was just listening to him. I mean, you're basically listening to the lore of Marvel. Yep. And he is absolutely fascinating. So I do look forward to speaking with him again. And
I think you got in
a listen well worth having.
I think you got in a couple questions and our pal Jeff Williams Jr. got in one. You know, but I'm not even complaining. I'm not complaining about it.
Because his answers are great too. Yeah. I mean, they're like, yeah, he talks for a while, but it's you get every answer you want from one question.
No, right? You don't. He answers. Okay. He answers the question in the way like
he doesn't want to answer the questions that you ask, Mike.
No. Yeah.
I know the questions to ask him.
Yeah, so you ask him a question, and he'll give you the answer of the question he wished you to ask.
Well, then you know what? Maybe I should be a better interviewer. Maybe that's really what he's trying to teach me. Help him help me. That's really what we need. Anyway, I'm very excited, and Daniel's going to Baltimore Comic Con, and honestly, that sounds like a lot of fun. You know, duck out for some crab cakes. Walk around the Inner Harbor, but, you know, not two blocks away from the Inner Harbor. Just stay in the Inner Harbor.
Make sure you can see the water. Yeah, if you can't see the water, then God bless.
And if you take the subway, pay attention. Don't be like poor Vincent D'Onofrio in that episode of Homicide: Life on the Street. What? You didn't know I was going to bring that up today, did you?
Oh, he gets crushed. Oh.
I haven't seen
By the way, one of the best episodes of hour-long television I've ever seen.
Of network drama, for sure. Amazing. Vincent D'Onofrio. I believe it's called The Subway. So Cammy Egan, back on track here, said that she agrees with Michael to the extent that thought the first season of Shorts was cuter, but really enjoyed the ice cream truck short. I think that that was fun. And yes, Cammy, I did mean to mention this earlier, that the one, like, I don't know, what do you call that? Like the pop with the bubblegum eyes was a Howard the Duck face. The fact that, you know, we get a lot of visual cues and shout outs to Howard the Duck in Guardians of the Galaxy content, I think is fun. I'm glad that they stick with the character as voiced by Vin Diesel, but I mean, they need to. I mean, we're talking about what they paid Bradley Cooper for one line. Is like, I hope it's just like an overall Groot deal for Vin Diesel, for like all the movies and all the shows, and if he's in video games or, you know, I'm sure they pay him well, you know.
Oh, he has way more money than we think he does.
I know. I'm not worried about him at all.
No, but yeah, I mean, they still have to pay him. I mean, you know, he's not doing it for charity, you know.
He's doing it for family.
Like, I found myself like the whole time, like imagining him in the sound studio, like doing this, like weird grunts and just saying the same thing over and over, and it was just kind of bizarre to think about.
So my comment is that I want to bring up in the chat from Kemi Egan again. I think little Groot is getting to be too much like a minion. You might not be wrong. You know, there's a lot of adventures, and Eric's baby Groot is dancing. I have a Christmas one like that, so it's not time for it to come out of the garage just yet, but soon enough he'll be with us. I don't know. What do you think, Eric? Do you think that Baby Groot is maybe a little too silly? I mean, it is a cartoon, you know. So and again, it is enjoyed enthusiastically by the 5.5-year-old that lives in my house. But how do you feel about it, Eric?
It's a You know, listen, Gammy, you can never waste a line of text. Like, it's such a good point. And you know, I think the issue is, it's like the Minions. Like, I like the Minions when they're in Despicable Me. I could not stand the Minions movie. When it's just them, it is painful. Luckily with Groot, I think the thing that keeps it from getting maybe too Minion-y is, A, it's really short. Like, we've yet to have the Groot movie. Once we have the Groot movie, that might be I'm tapping out and I throw this in the trash. But until that day, I don't mind. For 3 minutes, I'm amused. And luckily, I do think these minisodes have just kind of enough of the sort of chaos of the Guardians and the tone that it doesn't feel like it gets too into the weeds on the sort of cutesiness. Like, and even you brought up the last episode with the Watcher, and actually it's funny. As I'm watching that, I was reminded of like that famous Bugs Bunny cartoon where the cartoonist, like, his pencil shows up.
Tuck 'em up, right? I believe that's what that one's called.
If you say so, I'll say sure.
Okay.
But that idea.
I'm sorry, I thought you were a teacher for a second. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah. My Bugs Bunny class, unfortunately, no one came to that.
Hey, if you do a Bugs Bunny elective, I will figure out a way to audit that class.
Old Tom and Jerry is in talk about, you know, how they represent a very dark chapter in American history, actually. But it is that sort of meta thing that I thought was actually pretty clever. So to that point, I just think because it always sort of keeps at least a toe in the sort of Guardians kind of world, it never, for me, has yet to go kind of full Minion, but I think two seasons is enough. I kind of hope they got a plenty in the back order of, you know, like waiting in the queue to come out on Disney Plus. I hope this is it for a bit.
Well, I'm going to bet they already have more. Like, they're probably done. You know, the fact that these are as short as they are, it tells me that there's probably like 50 of them or something. By the way, Daniel does chime in with a good reminder. In season one, Groot killed all those creatures. So one ice cream truck driver is fine. And again, we never did see him. But Daniel also tagged our earlier conversation where we were talking about him meeting Chris Claremont. The people behind me will have to wait. And by the way, they will. they'll be waiting.
Have a good listen.
Yeah. I don't know. But there's nothing worse than getting to the front of a line at a con and the creator that just signs, you know, and it's like, do you want the CGC grading? You want me to make it out to you, you know? And it's like, and if you give them a compliment, they're just like, thanks. you know? So that's the kind of interactions I think that we all want. If we ever had a table at a con, I know Michael would just sign whatever. And he's like, no, no photos. That's $50 if you want a photo. Is that what your price would be if we did a con appearance?
No.
40? 35?
No, he'll do a picture for 50, but it's what he will take a picture of for 50. That might be the question mark.
You have to go to his studio. That's backstage, yeah.
Back in the, like...
Only Groots.
In the, like, what would you say, like, early 2010s, late 2000s.
Yep.
I was a fashion and entertainment blogger for BuzzNet, and I did some meet and greets, and I really enjoyed meeting, like, people that were that read what I was writing. I wouldn't be a jerk like that.
Cam Egan says Michael wants his $2. I believe I've signed either one or two autographs ever, and I was so embarrassed for the person that asked for it. I was
excited to meet you, Christian.
Well, I know that's why I let you on the show, because I felt bad that I tried to brush you off. That's right. In the fine cities of Chicago and New Orleans, I was asked after a radio station appearance, and I do believe that the first person I said, "Are you sure?" You know, I'm like, I'm sure you want someone else's autograph, but I'm the one that you found. Cammy knew that we would get the reference that Michael wants his $2. Of course, we could.
You know your audience.
Yeah, exactly. We know our people. I don't know. I think these are light. These are fun. They're very easy to come out. They were not available at 9 p.m. Pacific time like Ahsoka was. So I was a little disappointed. Yeah. That's where I thought that was just the thing now, that all the Disney Plus does that. But apparently just that show they want to have come out at that time. Anyway, we've been speaking about Disney Plus content and what it is that we've gotten now. And while we were on our extended summer holiday, I think we only took off 2 weeks, but it felt like more because we missed everybody so much. This September 1st from Variety, Marvel's Agatha delays to fall 2024. Michael is very upset. Studio also shifts Echo, X-Men 97, and What If release dates. So everything is moving a little bit, and a part of the reason is the SAG-AFTRA and Writers Guild strikes. So we will get What If Season 2 this year, and it will show up in December. Over the holiday season, it says no specific date just yet. Echo, a spinoff of Hawkeye, moved from November 29th to January 2024. The show is still set to release all episodes at once. The first binge release for a Marvel Cinematic Universe series on Disney Plus. And we'll put a pin in that right there. And why do you think that is? Do you think it's because, Michael, they feel so good about the show and the content that they just want to celebrate it and give it to everybody all at once? Or could they be trying to bury it and never to be seen again?
Well, I figured if they really wanted to bury it, they'd put it out about now. But I don't know. I think they probably don't have super high hopes about us caring a ton. Echo's kind of a newer character in the Marvel X-Men universe. Now I don't know if now, but she was the Phoenix recently, which adds a little intrigue, but I don't really know if any of us know what to make of what this show's supposed to do or where it's going to take us.
Right. Yeah. And I think that you need to put out the show when, you know, you have this wonderful actress who was in Hawkeye, Alakwa Cox, and she is hard of hearing. I believe she's classified as deaf.
Hard of hearing.
Yeah, and you can't necessarily be like, oh, the show with the deaf girl, we didn't like it, so we're not going to put it out. You kind of have to. And I may or may not have heard secondhand from someone who may or may not have worked on this show, who may or may not have been out on the writer's picket outside of, let's just say, one of the studios, that the process was not enjoyable for anyone who worked on it, at least on the pre-production side. So it may be reflected on the screen, allegedly. What do you think, Eric?
Well, that's the greatest review I've ever heard of any property. So I may be excited to see it. I may not be. I mean, clearly this is one that they're like, shoot, we have this thing. We're pushing back all our bigger titles on the big screen and small. So whatever. We'll just dump it. And they're dumping it. Was it November or what was the date?
November 29th. Yeah. My daughter's birthday. So Thanksgiving, that's how I remember.
Thanksgiving weekend. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. So yeah, so much faith in this property. It's one step away from coming January 3rd. Like, when you ever hear that, you know that movie sucks. So I'm not feeling the love for Echo. And I too heard not the greatest things about this thing already. And I think also too, they maybe also missed an opportunity as far as like, okay, so good appearance on Hawkeye. Hawkeye's been a while though since we saw that show,
it was a full year ago because it was Christmas time, right?
And they haven't really done. I mean, like, I'm not sure beyond like on the comic book front. Did they? Michael, you're saying Echo's become the Phoenix, so I guess they're using the comic book space for Echo. But in terms of like getting people maybe in the know, like I feel like they haven't even tried to like. I don't know, like even the Disney, like the splash pages doesn't have Hawkeye front and center. It doesn't say like before Echo or see Echo's first appearance. So I feel like it's not just that they're dumping them all. They're also just kind of burying them. Like they're not putting any kind of promotion into it to get us reacclimated with this character. So yeah, no, I think they've beyond given up on this property. And I mean the good news is even if it's mediocre, it's better than we're going to expect. So now we go into this sort of with absolutely no expectations, which hopefully maybe helps because they've after Secret Invasion, man, I'm still licking my wounds on that one as a fan.
Yeah, that was a big reason why we needed 2 weeks off at the end of the summer was Secret Invasion, really. And it's them dropping the whole series. Yeah, them dropping the whole series at once. I'm like, I don't even know how to cover that for this show. You know, in the old days when we did after shows for AfterBuzz TV, the Netflix shows. I would try to do three or four in a single sitting, and they're like, no, you should do one for each episode. I'm like, but then I have to watch them one at a time because I'm not going to remember, you know, where the story stopped because I'm not smart. So it's something to think about, and everything selfishly goes back to, yeah, but what does it mean for me? So that's where we're at with Echo. X-Men 97, that has moved from fall 2023 to early 2024. I know someone who is working on that, and hopefully he'll be able to talk to us once it's released. But I can tell that he's excited for that project. I know that a lot of us have high hopes for it. I'm just excited to see the X-Men. And they'll be in an era of X-Men where I'm comfortable with. I don't want to hear about Krakoa. I don't want to see Scott with that stupid round helmet. There's a, you know, I don't need what? Scott and Emma Frost playing. I don't need Scott and Emma Frost playing grab ass. I'm not interested. All right. So just bring me back to 20th century Fox, as it were, 20th century X-Men. Michael, I alluded to this when I read the first paragraph of this story. The WandaVision spinoff Agatha is now scheduled to debut in fall of 2024, likely around the Halloween season. It did finish filming before the SAG-AFTRA strike. Now,
oh, goody.
It was originally announced the title was Agatha, House of Harkness. Then they changed it to Agatha, Coven of Chaos. Now we're told it's Agatha Darkhold Diaries, which is, I believe they're just doing a shot-by-shot remake of Princess Diaries, but with Catherine Hahn in the Julie Andrews role. But I might be mistaken. Which of those titles do you hate the least, Michael?
I guess Coven of Chaos.
Coven of Chaos. Okay.
Yeah, okay, I hate this new one, the Darkhold Diaries. I just think of like it's like a Sex in the City spinoff or something.
Yeah. And just like that, it was Agatha all along.
Dark Hold These Nuts, I think, was the other one that we're considering.
It's the grown-up college professor who brought that to the table. Surrounded
by two teenage boys. So
not the dummy who gets insulted on the internet by stuttering John Melendez. The college professor is the one who comes to the table with that. What do you think about the movement of Agatha? What does that do for you, Eric? Are you disappointed? Are you just numb to all this schedule movement?
Yeah, like you were saying before, my disappointment is the enjoyment you and I are both going to get of Michael having to watch this show. I mean, I am more excited about Michael's reaction than I am about my reaction or the show itself. I think the fact that they finished filming and they keep pushing it back, that smells like reshoots.
Well, it takes a long time to add terrible special effects, as we saw with Secret Invasion, you know, because
we saw with Sharknado as well, or now Cocaine Shark.
Agree to disagree on Sharknado, but
or Christian's background.
Yeah, that's true. Like 700 men died making that backdrop. I think, but the idea that it's getting pushed back, because I mean, obviously Post takes a while, but they know Post takes a while. This isn't their first rodeo. So that to me, and again, I don't know this for sure. Maybe you do, Christian, but it's okay. If they're pushing it back after already filming everything and they're saying it's because strike, well, that to me sounds like, well, no, that smells like a rewrite, right? That smells like production needs pushing things back, because otherwise
they can't rewrite and they can't reshoot because of the
exactly
strikes.
That's what I'm saying. So maybe that.
So I think if it gets to late enough in the year, then they're just going to be like, all right, we'll just put it out like this. You know, it'll be like what happened with Dark Phoenix, you know, the last time that there was some kind of writer strike. It's a Quantum of Solace. It's like, well, we can't rewrite it and it sucks, but let's just put it out anyway. And I mean, a similar problem is why they've just completely taken Daredevil Born Again and Ironheart off the schedule, because they were not very far into shooting those. So they will not be scheduling them for quite some time. I believe, just in my heart of hearts, those are shows that we will definitely not see in 2024. And depending on how far they got into Ironheart, maybe we never see it. You know, there's a lot of reasons why. You never know what, you know, options you hold on the actors, all that kind of stuff. But I think that Daredevil will definitely get. I think that they're really invested in bringing that to us. But the good news is we're talking about a show that we're expecting Michael to not like in terms of the Agatha show, but a show that Michael sat out season one on an earlier incarnation of this show. Loki season two will be with us October 6th. So that is a month from today, Michael. 1 month. Prepare Are you myself. Ready?
I think Michael
to welcome to Tom Hiddleston and Lady Loki into your heart. Can you find room in there for you?
That's the sound of seething.
Yeah.
I'm just not a fan. It's not a fan. Yeah.
I think we broke.
I'm gonna do it though. I'm gonna do it.
I'm excited. Yeah. Kemi Egan says, I'm not interested in Ironheart because I thought what? She was a throwaway character in Wakanda Forever. No! I mean, I feel like they thought that was a good launching pad for that character, you know? And conveniently, it's like, yeah, that really cool armor you have, you know, I have to take it away from you. Why is that? Well, it only works in a movie budget. You can't use that suit in a TV budget. So she's going to look like the original Tony Stark from the comics, the big gray bulky Iron Man suit. But that'll still be plenty of VFX. Daniel Drew with the point. I mean, Disney just canceled the Spiderwick Chronicles show even after filming the whole season. So anything can happen. Yes, we are definitely in the Wild West. We're in the anything can happen era. Right here, but we just talk about what we know. We got Loki next month, we got the Marvels the month after, and you know, because of how busy the McDonald's toy tie-in schedule is, we've all forgotten about the Marvel tie-in Happy Meals. And
if anything, I got all these pictures of humble brags of all the Happy Meals Marvel's toys you were able to acquire.
Well, I never did get the Ms. Marvel, which was the one that my daughter wanted. We got Goose, and I forget who else we got, actually. So
just buy it on eBay for her. Don't be cheap.
Yeah, if you were a good father, you already would have bought it. But I'm not judging.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, you say that you're not judging, but I can tell. That you are. And by the way, just opposite opinion from Kami Egan. Daniel Drew, I love Riri in the comics, so I'm very excited for the show. I would like to see what they are able to do with the character in a series, and I want to see all that. And Kami Egan following up. Oh, this is like a flame war from the old days. Kami Egan, I'm going to watch it all, but I'm not too hopeful for the Marvel shows since they've been so poorly executed. I'm excited for the Marvels. I think Iman Vellani is going to carry that movie. And by the way, Iman Vellani wrote a Ms. Marvel comic, which I believe came out week. And she did an in-store. I believe she's from Toronto. So I think she...
Last week.
All right. But I'm close, Michael. It was since our last new episode. In any case, so Eric sends me an eBay link. Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah.
$12.
No. There's cheaper ones. There's like a $5 one. I thought you can't measure your love in money.
Well. Oh, no. My, have you ever heard me say any combination of those words? My love is very much, measurable in money. And because see, this is the first one that I saw is the Ms. Marvel $12.99. But this might find its way for my daughter's birthday in November. That because I mean, $4. See, cool, I shouldn't be showing this on the show because I know Daniel Drew is going to go and drive up all these auctions.
He's going to corner the market on Ms. Marvel.
Daniel, you probably already have your Kamala Khan Happy Meal toys. Am I right? Or hello? Am I wrong? Yeah.
Okay.
And Daniel Drew wants us to know that he posted on his blog, he bought all the variants for the Iman Vellani Ms. Marvel comic book.
Oh, cool.
And see, look what I did to myself. Now Daniel's like, I got to get those, I guess. Yeah, see, I should have just kept my big mouth shut. Daniel, quickly in the comments, post where people can find your blog, because Daniel does a very detailed write-up of after every new comic day, you know, what he reads and after he sees a movie. And I want to make sure that people know where they can find you. But for now, we'll talk about where we can find Count Eric Connor.
Well, you can find me watching... Who Are Those Broadcasters? Over on the Who Are Those Podcasts network on YouTube. And then you also can hang out with me over in Insta, and I think I'm on Threads and Twitter and X and Y and Z at Count Eric Connor. So I hope to hear from all of you soon. I miss you. I love you.
Who are these broadcasters? Also available as an audio podcast, but I will tell you that because we play video clips, it is more enjoyable as a YouTube show. And I have given multiple shout outs to one member of this show who has provided me with some great videos. At some point, Michael and I might need to do a standalone special about Julie Baker, who is a morning anchor in Colorado Springs, a fake redhead who also likes to act fake crazy. But all she really did is forget her belt. Right, Michael?
Man, that poor woman's a hot mess.
She sure is. And I may have done a little too deep of a dive on her Instagram and watched a little too many videos. And you're not wrong. But yes, you can find that there. Who are these broadcasters? Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. If you like the mean parts of this show, then you will like that show. If you wish we were nicer on this show, I don't know if you should watch because it's not very nice. If you think that a podcast hosted by the five late night talk shows is a good idea and that it's really funny, then you might not enjoy Who Are These Broadcasters. But if you think the opposite, please check them out. And now we know how Fezzik feels about Jimmy Fallon. And of course, find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. And the star of the show, Michael, where can you be found?
Either Louis Vuitton or Taco Bell, typically. I don't know. But on the interwebs, you can find me at Michael X Shirley on X, ahead of my time. And I hate Michael Shirley pretty much anywhere else.
Well, I appreciate both of you taking the time and Fezzik as well.
Oh, no, this is our new guy. This is Fezzik's brother, Iggy Pup.
I hate you so much right now.
Like, I did not do the name. It was it came with the name, but I love him.
Huh.
I'm sorry that I have room in my heart for an animal.
For Iggy Pup.
Iggy Pup.
Yeah. Well, he's got a lust for Alpo. Awesome. That's great. Everybody wins when your dog's name is Iggy Pup. In any case, we will be back next week, I believe, at the normal time, I believe, with a guest. But follow me on Twitter and Instagram, at ChristianDMZ. I'll be sure to let you know if there's any kind of time change. We've got a couple of fun guests coming up, and that should take us through to Loki, October 6th. And Cammie Egan. Great show as always, guys. But she also seemed to think Iggy Pup was a good name. So I don't know what to do with your praise right now, Cammie Egan. But we love you for being in the chat with us as always. Well, that is all the time we have for now. 16 more minutes than I thought we were going to. 17 more minutes than I thought we were going to get with these two topics.
That's what she said.
See, these big mouths can talk about like pretty much anything. Michael looks like he's gonna go take a nap afterwards.
That's all the time for now.
We'll see you next time. And as the great Stan Lee would say, Excelsior.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.